Another incident occurred in 2014. At the time, he had a service job which entailed long periods of standing. Normally, this wasn't a problem. John was very active and healthy. He loved sports and often played football, or went cycling or swimming. I had this job for years, John says. One day I noticed my left foot was uncomfortable and I would always lean on my right. It got worse over a few weeks, to the point where walking became an issue. My foot was swollen and it felt like either something was broken inside or infected. Needless to say, I called a doctor, because, well, I couldn't walk normally. He found nothing and said that maybe a recent change of shoes had caused it. I saw another doctor who specialized in sports injuries. He also found nothing, but prescribed some painkillers anyway. Because I was missing a lot of work due to this injury, I was getting new slips to stay at home every week, because we always thought that it would pass quickly. Unfortunately, John's problem didn't pass quickly. As his foot pain continued to worsen, he finally sought out a new treatment, laser therapy. He went to his appointments twice a week, and the treatments were expensive. Furthermore, there was no guarantee that the treatments would work. In fact, says John, it just got worse. It got so bad that I didn't fit in my shoe anymore and had to use crutches to walk to not even be able to walk. As a healthy young man, the idea of never running again, it felt as if God was playing a cruel joke on me. The constant agony, it brought me to tears. John was at the end of his rope. He had nowhere to turn. He went to the local park, near a pond with ducks and a big tree. He had always felt the presence of nature there and felt like it was his church. There he broke down and prayed. I cursed God and all that was holy for taking away my ability to run. I asked the heavens to be healed. I said that for the rest of my life I would spend at least an hour and a half per day working in the name of the energy I prayed to. John's foot remained swollen and sore. His laser therapy failed to produce any results. But it wasn't long after he prayed for a healing that he had an incredible nighttime experience. As he was sleeping, he woke up and became conscious that there were three entities in his room. His eyes were closed and he couldn't physically see them, but he sensed that there was one doctor and two guards. The other two, says John, I think they were here just to protect the doctor, it felt like, or subdue me. The doctor began to manipulate David's left foot. This presence, David explains, is messing with my toes, yanking them and twisting to the point that I thought he was gonna break my toes. John struggled to break free and wake up. Suddenly, the next thing he knows, he's waking up and it's morning. Before I can even open my eyes, my body leaps forward, arms outstretched to grab whoever is in the house by the neck. I see that my room is empty. I was running down the stairs, trying to find who had been in my home, seeing if the doors would be unlocked. Then I realized I was running down the stairs. I kinda stopped midway, looked down smiling, no swelling anymore, no pain, understanding perfectly what had happened. And then looking at the doors, I was way more relaxed as if I knew they weren't going to be open. I raced down the stairs anyway, to check the doors, still with the key in the lock locked up safely. I was helped. John was delighted. He felt certain that he had just been healed by ETs and he couldn't wait to see his doctor. He went that day. I went to see the doctor again, with a big smile on my face, and said, I'll no longer need laser therapy. I'm healed. But doctor, I want to tell you what happened, this weird dream I had. So I told him about it. The doctor listened to John's story and said, the power of the laser is truly remarkable. That's what he took away from it, says John. Following the incident, John tried to duplicate the way his toes had been forcibly flexed and twisted, but he was unable to do so. While the doctor was skeptical and felt that the laser was responsible for John's spontaneous healing, John feels certain that he was healed by the ETs. I've always had a sense of being protected or time slowing down a lot when in danger. The experience ultimately proved to have a profound effect on his life. It feels so humbling to think that another species would not only be able to understand our pain, but take time to actually help us as well. John didn't take his healing for granted, and worked hard to pay it forward. I put a lot of work into theoretical physics and how energy drives matter, almost like trying to prove the living soul in all things, plants, animals, humans. Also, I wrote an equation on the curvature of the Earth, which professors in mathematics could not find a flaw in. It feels like a calling, like I owe them this to earn that healing I received. Part of me thinks they knew all along what I would be working on in life. I don't want fame or wealth, only to advocate the truth and improve how we think about life. And I feel very thankful on having a calling that I can work on for the rest of my days, or as long as the complexity of it all allows for a sense of wonder. Sometimes I think that the reason I feel protected or watched over is because I hopefully will contribute a lot to physics regarding the souls and conscious minds in all life. John is eager to earn his healing. He adores animals and works hard to save the environment. He has become more open with his spirituality and shares his point of view with others. Initially hesitant to discuss his healing, he has recently spoken of it openly. He says, "By all means, use my healing story. We are being bottlenecked or pre-programmed to have a fear of ETs, which may result in a negative reaction when contact happens. So anything to do away with this false image of them being evil creatures, I would love to be a small part of that," honored even. "My foot is still fine, BTW, for which I am thankful." 20. A healing case revealed by the free study. This next encounter first appeared in the book, Beyond UFOs. Case #276. Cut on toe. Alina Del Castillo had her first encounter at age 3, when she saw a short glowing humanoid. Humanoid sitting next to her crib in her home in the United States. As a teenager and adult, she became very interested in UFOs and the paranormal. In 2012, Del Castillo had a close-up sighting of a silvery flying disc only about 250 feet above her. On the morning of July 13, 2014, Del Castillo was giving herself a pedicure when she accidentally cut deeply into the skin of her third left toe. She began to bleed, so she quickly washed the wound and applied bandages. She spent an active day and returned home in the evening to find her toe throbbing with pain. Not too concerned, she went to bed. However, as the night progressed, she woke up in excruciating pain. Just to touch her left foot caused agonizing pain. She realized she might have to go immediately to the emergency room. She quickly prayed for assistance. Almost immediately, a large grapefruit-sized, violet, orb of light appeared and floated toward her and stopped right in front of her face. "I then felt and saw the orb enter my shoulder," says Del Castillo, "and I felt the sensation of warm energy trickle down my body and reach my toe. It was the most incredible feeling of instantaneous relief and comfort from this horrible pain, and just like that, it was gone. I never witnessed the orb leave, but I knew that it had healed me. Del Castillo went back to bed, and in the morning, her wound was still present, but there was no redness, swelling or pain. She reports having had previous paranormal experiences, but this was her only healing. 21 Earlier we examined the case of Drive X, a medical doctor who was cured of an axe wound on his foot. This next case, from researcher R.D. Sixkiller Clark, also involves the healing of an axe wound on the foot. The witness is also a medicine woman, working for the health and wellness of her community. As we shall see, there are a number of cases involving doctors. Case #261. Axe wound to foot. Some people call me a medicine woman, says Bell, a Native American from Alaska, but I don't like the title, medicine woman. I'm just an old woman who knows about plants. Bell lives in a remote Alaskan village with about 40 houses. Not far from the village, says Bell, is a sacred field where the star people come and visit with the local population, or collect the native healing plants. Says Bell, they are our ancestors and they care about us, but some are also scientists. They measure the levels of pollution, they examine the earth and the plants to determine if there are poisons that are changing them. On one occasion, date not given, circa 2000, Bell was healed by the ETs. I was chopping wood one day, says Bell, and I hit my foot with the axe. It went all the way through my shoe into my foot. By the time I freed myself from the axe, my shoe was filled with blood. All my kids were at school. I tied a dish rag around my foot and tried to stop the blood. Suddenly they, the star people, appeared and they untied the dishcloth, and with their hands they took away the pain and the bleeding. After that, I walked normal and never had any problems. There is still a scar though the star people saved me. 22 As UFO researchers know, encounters can happen almost anywhere, even in the most unlikely places. The following encounter took place during a UFO conference in Irvine, California, in the luxury Irvine Hotel. By coincidence, I was a speaker at this conference, and was staying in the hotel at the time the encounter occurred. Other sightings were also reported in the same area around the same time. Case #284. Separated Achilles tendon. On the days of September 24-27, 2015, MUFO field investigator, Thomas Michael Knox, a former Air Force officer, attended the MUFO conference in Irvine, California. In the evening, he retired to his hotel room. At the time, he had recently torn his Achilles tendon in his left leg. Doctors told him it was completely separated and that he needed surgery. The next morning, Knox woke up to find that his leg was no longer in pain. He was healed. However, there were strange marks on his leg. Knox's roommate in the hotel room, Melissa, pseudonym, was amazed and proceeded to tell him an incredible story. She had come into the room around 11:00 p.m. Knox was already asleep in bed. I fell asleep quickly, says Melissa. Around approximately midnight I was woken up and felt like I was floating out of the hotel room. I remembered standing outside of the hotel room. On the rooftop looking back into the window at my roommate laying in bed. Inside the room with him I could see three grey aliens standing by his bed, holding his leg and giving him some sort of injection. I was pounding on the window yelling for him to wake up. Melissa told Knox that he fought them, kicking and yelling. She then explained that both of them were abducted, along with several other people she recognized from the MUFO conference, some of who were well known. Melissa and Knox were drawn up inside a cigar-shaped craft. Says Melissa, at least seven other people were also removed from the hotel and boarded into the cigar-shaped craft. On board, all of us were placed in chairs which resembled beauty salon chairs with hair dryers above them. We were all restrained in the chairs and the parts that looked like a hair dryer was placed over each one of our heads, and it fit very snugly. She had the impression that the ETs were allowing the people in the chairs to transfer mental information between each other. Melissa counted at least 20 greys on board the craft. She says that after the information transfer procedure, some of the people were then examined. Afterward, everyone was returned to their hotel room. Later that morning, after having flashbacks, Melissa told Knox what happened. Knox remembered nothing other than sleeping like the dead. Together they located a black light and saw weird phosphorescent particles on Knox's leg, on her pajamas, her bed, and at various spots throughout the entire room. There were also three strange fingerprints on Knox's leg and a round red mark the size of a quarter. Both Melissa and Mike Knox were amazed. Knox spoke publicly about his encounter at a later conference. Melissa reported her encounter to UFORC. 23 We have now examined 23 cases involving healing of the legs and feet. The earliest case occurred in 1952, and the latest in 2014. Again, the cases occur all across the world to all kinds of people. The majority of the cases involve healings that profoundly benefited the witness. Victims of falls, car accidents, flesh wounds and more are all being healed. In some cases, the injuries are minor. In most of the cases, the benefit to the witness is undeniable. The evidence that ETs do care about the welfare of human beings is difficult to deny. Does this mean they are our friends? As we have seen, some of the witnesses feel this way. Others, number before we make any firm conclusions one way or another, there are still many cases to examine. So far we have only touched the surface of healings of injuries. There are many more to explore. Chapter 5, Abdomen and Chest. This chapter focuses on injuries involving the abdomen and chest. There are only a half dozen of these cases, not a lot, and those fall into two main categories, incisions and hernias. These cases, although not particularly numerous, exhibit the same patterns we've seen in other cases. Case #034. Hernia. In 1961, a woman was picnicking with relatives on a beach in Isla Verde, Puerto Rico. Without any warning, she found that she had been abducted into a UFO. The smaller craft entered a mothership. Inside the mothership, the witness was taken to a room where she was cured of a painful hernia. One, the difficulty with labeling experiences as contactees or abductees is typified by the following case. Denise and Bert Twiggs experienced a UFO sighting with missing time. Under hypnosis, a harrowing abduction scenario was revealed. However, as time went on, the Twiggs's attitude toward their experiences changed, as did the nature of their experiences. What started out as traumatic had become positive and benevolent. The following healing is only one of many reported by the Twiggs family. Case #097. Abdominal incision. In November 1981, Denise Twiggs of Hubbard, Oregon gave birth to her son, Christopher, by cesarean section. She had planned to deliver him naturally, but unforeseen complications demanded immediate surgery. The umbilical cord was wrapped around Christopher's neck. Luckily, there were no other difficulties, and Christopher was born a healthy, normal baby. Denise was disappointed to have a C-section as the recovery process is longer than with natural birth. However, Denise had alien friends who actually visited the hospital room and sped up the healing process of her incision. The Adrome doctors visited me, giving me a helping hand with my recovery. My human doctor was amazed at how quickly I was healing. Denise didn't tell him about her ET encounters. 2. We have already examined a few cases in which people have been vivisected aboard a UFO and then instantly healed. The following case is a typical example of this type of procedure. Although technically there is a healing, it wouldn't be necessary if the ETs hadn't caused the incision in the first place. Instead of providing evidence of ET benevolence, these rare cases seem to show that ETs are experimenting on humans with little regard to the emotional well-being of their patients. At the very least, their bedside manner could use some significant improvement. This next case of a UFO-caused injury and subsequent healing comes from researcher Carla Turner Phase D. Case #129. Abdominal incision. In October of 1988, Fred of New York City was abducted from a friend's apartment. His conscious memory of the event was virtually non-existent. The only indications that something had happened were a time lapse in his memory and several scratches, marks and bruises on his body. Later, he began having some dream recall of the event, and eventually underwent hypnotic regression and recovered the event in its entirety. He remembers being taken aboard a craft. He was given a standard medical examination, and sperm was removed. While in the medical room, he saw other operations occurring. He observed one animal injected with a needle which extracted fluid from its body. Fred also saw a nude woman lying perfectly still on a table. To his horror, he saw that the woman had a large surgical incision down the center of her chest. "She has been opened up," Fred explained, "and has a vertical incision from the top of her chest down to the groin area." Unable to move, Fred watched the gray aliens insert their hands inside the woman's chest cavity. Fred then noticed that the woman's legs were spread-eagled with clamps around her ankles, and a long tube-like instrument was inserted in her vagina. Fred had the impression that the examination of the woman, himself and the animal were part of a related experiment involving reproduction. "This was strictly surgical," Fred says. At one point, Fred saw another gray-type alien holding a small instrument with lights on it approach the woman. The alien pointed the laser-like beam of light at the incision and healed the cut. "What he is doing to the skin, as he pulls it together, it's just sealing it up as if there wasn't any cut," Fred explains. "He uses the light, pulls the skin together, and you can't tell she was ever cut." 3. The following undated case, circa 1980s, comes from Major Georgia Filer. It is yet another case of an incision made and healed during an abduction event. Case #153. Chest incision. "I had two medical doctors examine the 2-foot-long horizontal scar across the chest of an abductee," writes Major Georgia Filer. "They could think of no medical reason for making such a long incision on the chest of this man. However, the scar proved the incision had occurred and healed in a matter of hours by a green light. The UFOs used a pencil-like flashlight to make the incision and close and quickly heal the wound. 4. Hernias can occur when the abdominal wall becomes weakened and the intestines start to protrude. It's most common among the elderly but can occur at any age. It can usually be cured with simple surgery. In the following case, a woman diagnosed with a hernia reports that she was healed as a result of her UFO contacts. Case hash 192. Hernia. At 4:31 a.m. January the 19th, 1994, Orthridge, California was struck by a 6.8 earthquake. However, the night before the earthquake, nearby Topanga Canyon resident, Mitchell I, pseudonym, experienced a dramatic UFO sighting over her home. She and her boyfriend saw a large diamond-shaped craft towing a smaller craft using a beam of light as a tow rope. The craft hovered over two nearby water towers before moving slowly away. More UFO activity followed. Mitchell I was so shaken by the sightings that she slept in the living room. A few hours later, the earthquake struck, devastating her home. When she inspected her bedroom, she saw that a large buffalo head sculpture had fallen onto the bed, right where she would have been sleeping. 2 weeks later, Mitchell I had another visitation. However, on this occasion she saw a grey alien standing next to her in her bedroom. She tried to get up but found herself paralyzed. Oddly, she felt no fear. It kind of looked like it was a cat face without any hair, and a combination of a skeleton face, she said. I tried getting up and my legs would not move. After a little while, I actually had an orgasm, just sitting on the couch. The weird part was, while I was sitting there looking at this thing, I was trying to write down the things it was telling me. It was telling me that they were trying to invent ways of intercourse. They needed babies. They were just telling me a bunch of things telepathically, there would be more earthquakes. And then you know, we had all those earthquakes all over the world. A few weeks later, Mitchell I continues, I all of a sudden had this bulge in the left side of my stomach. I had gone to the doctor, and I went to the emergency room. They wanted to do surgery. They said, you know, maybe it could be a hernia, or we're not really sure what it is. I didn't want to have an operation. And I decided in my head, this is going to go away. And it went away 3 days later. 3 days after that, I dropped a 75-pound slate of marble on my foot. It didn't cut my foot, but you could see where there was an indentation in my foot, probably being broken. 2 days later, that went away. And then about 4 months later, I had a miscarriage and there was nothing in the sack. Mitchell I credits her sudden healing abilities. Abilities to the extraterrestrials. When I saw them, she says, the thing that I wrote down was that I would be able to heal myself. And I would be able to heal people. If they wanted me to heal them, I would be able to heal them. 5. This next case is a wonderful example of why ETs are healing some people and not others. In this instance, it appears that the ETs were interested in the witness's genetic makeup. The case is also compelling because the witness allowed his own name to be used, his condition was diagnosed by doctors, and the cure was also medically verified. Case hash 231. Hernia. In November 2000, Jim Law of Gayesville, Florida was diagnosed with an inguinal hernia. He was scheduled to undergo surgery on February the 23rd, 2001. About 1 week before surgery, he woke in the middle of the night sensing a presence in the room. In a state of semi-sleep, he saw that they were gray-type ETs. They came through the wall. Law felt a rush of fear. But the Greys had visited him before, and he quickly calmed himself. He then told them that if they wanted to visit him, they needed to help him or he would make them go away. One of the beings replied, "We know of the condition you have a concern about and we will help you." One of the beings held a shiny instrument about 1 foot long next to his hernia. Law felt nothing, but the hernia was healed. Law asked the beings why they kept visiting him. They replied, "We are interested in you because you have genetic potential to live a long time." Law's grandfather was 106 years old and still active. Law was in the process of writing a book about him. Law says that the Greys are trying to hybridize to live on Earth, that they destroyed their planet and are a dying race. Following the experience, Law was examined by doctors who found no trace of his hernia, which never returned. 6. So closes the accounts of abdominal and chest injury healings. Compared to the total number of healing cases, there are only a few. There are enough, however, to show that ETs do have the ability to cure people of hernias and incisions. Again, the question remains, why would they heal a minor condition when our own Earth methods are capable of handling it? With so many minor conditions being healed, it becomes clear that ETs must be closely monitoring their subjects. The ease with which the ETs are able to open and close human bodies is both disturbing and intriguing. Yes, they heal people, but in some instances, they are also making surgical incisions. Each healing case adds another piece of the puzzle and provides additional evidence that these types of cases are real. They also bring us one step closer to understanding the ET agenda on our planet. Chapter 6, Neck and Back. Anyone who's suffered from neck and forward slash or back pain knows how miserable and crippling it can be. It can have a variety of causes, but is often due to injuries resulting in tissue damage among the muscles, tendons and bones that comprise the spine and neck. While in most cases, injuries will completely heal, this is not always the case. Some people live with agonizing neck and back pain due to injuries that occurred years earlier. Sometimes the damage is chronic, and the patient has no choice but to learn to live with their condition. This chapter presents 15 cases of healings of injuries to the neck and back. Some recount healings of minor pain, while others recount healings of serious injuries. Case #032. Broken neck. Jeffrey, pseudonym, of Seattle, Washington, was born in 1948. When he was 12 years old, one summer evening in 1960, he was dozing in a steel-framed hammock when an accident caused him to be thrown 7 or 8 feet into the air. "I descended upside down and landed directly on my head," Jeffrey said. "The last thing I remember was a loud snap, a cracking sound as my head snapped onto my shoulder. That, except for the incident that I will relate next, may have been the tragic end of the story." Jeffrey continues, "The next thing I am aware of is that I am standing up holding onto the nearby handrail. I don't remember getting up, I'm just up. Then I hear a voice in my head say, 'Look up.' So I look up. There in the sky, directly overhead, are three hovering discs. The discs were mirror-like, reflecting the darkness on one side and the setting sun on the other. They hovered in a triangular formation. The middle disc was lowest, at an estimated 120 feet. Says Jeffrey, "I yelled at my brother, who is already looking at them. 'Chuck, look.' He saw the whole thing. He says a beam of light came out of one of them and hit me. I cannot verify that, as I was out of commission at the time. Suddenly the discs took off. They immediately moved in perfect silent unison, due west to the horizon in about 2 seconds. While the sighting lasted only 2 minutes, and Jeffrey has no memory of being struck by a beam of light, he believes his neck was healed by the ETs. Whatever happened, events weren't over yet. Shortly after that, says Jeffrey, I had a long series of really weird nighttime events. Something came into our room almost every night for a long time. When they came, I would call to my older brother, but he wouldn't wake. Then his weird experience would happen. Ultimately, the results of the encounter proved to be beneficial. My school performance went from poor to exceptional, Jeffrey says. Emotional problems that I had been experiencing seemed to reconcile. My neck has never caused me any pain to this day. My brother still comments on the events of this amazing moment in our lives. One of the strange aspects about UFO healing cases is when they occur. In some cases, people are injured and instantly healed. In others, such as the following, they can suffer from a condition for many years before finally receiving a healing at the hands of ETs. Case #060. Chronic back pain. In March 1973, Olga Adler, of the United States, was lying in bed suffering from chronic back pain, making any movement, especially bending, painful and difficult. Her eyes were closed when the room suddenly became bright. Adler was just as suddenly paralyzed. She perceived a figure in a long, light brown robe, resembling a monk's habit, with the hood pulled up and rendering the face in deep shadows. The figure entered through a closed door and floated across the room. At this point, the entity used an instrument to cure Adler of her chronic back pain. In his arms, Adler says, he held what looked like a heavy metal cylinder behind my back as I lay there on my side, and pressed it down. I could feel the bed depress with the extra weight and could see the figure leaning on it directly behind me, the face always in deep shadow. With contact of the cylinder at my back, I could feel a comfortable warmth penetrating my body and felt surrounded by a tingling sensation as electricity. The figure bent over me and held the cylinder like that for at least 5 minutes as I relaxed in the comforting warmth. At this point, the figure departed through the closed door and Adler fell asleep. Upon awakening, Adler was astounded to discover that her backache was healed. It was completely gone. And I could bend and twist and move with absolutely no pain, she said. I believe I had been healed by some kind of spirit guide or angel. 1 year later, Adler had another encounter in which the figure entered her bedroom and spoke telepathically, "Come with me, it's time to go." Adler has vague memories of being floated outside through a closed window. From that point, she has missing time. Researcher Mark Korvisky, editor of Strange magazine, wrote about the case and remarked on the many strange parallels to classical accounts of the Grim Reaper, during which witnesses see a hooded, robed, faceless entity. However, as can be seen, the above account has many details in accord with UFO accounts. Two, in many cases, UFO abductions are traumatic events. Witnesses report being taken against their will and kidnapped into a UFO. Regardless of motive, this type of behavior is considered a crime in virtually every culture on our planet. Not surprisingly, many abductees resist being taken. Sometimes this results in injury. The ETs then proceed to abduct the witness and heal them of the injury they sustained in their attempts to resist the kidnapping. The perfect example is what happened to Sergeant Charles Moody. Case #070. Back injury. On the evening of August 13, 1975, USAF flight mechanic Charles Moody, who worked at Holloma AFB in New Mexico, decided to watch the Perseid meteor showers, which were active that evening. He left his home in Alamogordo and drove outside of town to watch the stars. After seeing several shooting stars, he was shocked to see one of them drop out of the sky in front of him and stop. In a later interview, Moody described what happened. "I observed a dull metallic object that seemed to just drop out of the sky and start to hover with a wobbling motion, approximately 100 feet in front of me." As the object moved toward him, Moody tried to start his car, but the engine mysteriously died. The object approached closely and Moody heard a high-pitched whining sound coming from the craft. Looking up, he saw oddly shaped windows, behind which were two or three human-looking forms. Says Moody, "At this time, the high-pitched sound stopped, and a feeling of numbness came over my body. The fear that I had before left me, and I felt a very peaceful calmness. The object lifted very fast. It made no sound." After the object had departed, Moody's car started easily. As he drove home, he looked at his watch and saw that it was 2:45 a.m. At least 1 hour and 25 minutes later than it should have been. Afterward, Moody suffered from lower back pain and a strange rash on his lower body. Concerned about the missing time and his symptoms, Moody discreetly contacted APRO researchers, Jim Laws and Vadel Stevens. Moody was concerned that the Air Force would hear about the incident. Apparently they did, because a few weeks later, Moody was transferred overseas, something Laws had predicted would happen. Before he left, however, Moody wrote a letter to Laws, explaining that his memory of the incident had returned naturally over the past few weeks, and that he now consciously recalled almost everything that had occurred on board the craft. Moody says that after hovering in front of him, the craft landed on the road. Two men, dressed in tight-fitting suits, approached his car. Moody attempted to shoot at them with his revolver but suddenly felt powerless as the two strange figures pulled him out of the car and dragged him into the craft. "The beings were about 5 feet tall and very much like us," Moody said, "except their heads were larger and had no hair, ears very small, eyes a little larger than ours, nose small, and the mouth had very thin lips. I would say their weight was maybe between 110 to 130 pounds. There was speech but their lips did not move. The beings were dressed in featureless black skin-tight suits, except for one of the figures whose suit was silver-white." Moody was taken to a room where one of the figures, who Moody perceived to be the leader, placed a rod-looking device around his body. Says Moody, "He said there had been a scuffle when they first made contact with me, and he only wanted to correct any misplacement that might have happened." Moody was impressed by the interior of the craft, which he described as having indirect lighting and being as clean as an operating room. The beings were telepathic and answered Moody's questions as he formulated them in his mind. Says Moody, "I was thinking to myself, if only I could see the drive unit of the craft, how wonderful that would be." The elder or leader put his hand on my shoulder and said to follow him. We went to a small room that had no fixtures and was dimly lit. The floor seemed to give way like an elevator. I guess we went down about 6 feet, and what I saw then was a room about 25 feet across, and in the center was what looked like a huge carbon rod going through the roof of the room. Around the rod were three what looked like holes covered with glass. Inside the glass-covered holes or balls were what looked like large crystals with two rods, one on each side of the crystal. One rod came to a ball-like top, the other came to a T-type top. I was told this was their drive unit, and that I could understand it if I tried. The beings told Moody that the craft was only a small observation craft, and that they had a much larger craft which was about 400 miles above the Earth. Moody asked if he could see the main craft and was told that time was too short. They said that limited contact with humans would be made in the future, but only over a gradual period of time. They said that they are concerned about the radiation tests being conducted. They told him that radar interferes with their ability to navigate, and also that there were currently several different alien races working together. The beings then told Moody that he would not remember what had happened this evening, but that his memory would return over a period of time. Finally, they said they could find him whenever they wanted and that they would see me again. While Moody did receive a healing of a back injury, it was an injury he sustained while being abducted. 3. In most cases of back and neck healings, the procedure is done quickly and easily with a single instrument. In other cases, a simple beam of light seems to suffice. Case -076. Back injury. In 1976, Vladimir S. was sent by his family to the Malebka area, Perm region in Ural, Russia. Non-traditional healers were known to live in this area, and 18-year-old Vladimir was seeking a cure for back injuries sustained in a job-related accident. His back injuries were so severe, he had to walk with a cane. While camping with other people along the river Shosovaya, Vladimir woke one evening to urinate and saw a large, luminous, egg-shaped object rise from the river and hover in front of him. It radiated a strong heat. Through a window, Vladimir saw a humanoid with long hair. Suddenly, a green beam of light shot out from the top of the object and struck Vladimir on the face, temporarily blinding him. When he could see again, the object was off in the distance, moving away. Following this incident, the witness recovered from his injuries and threw away his cane. 4. In several cases in this book, victims of injury and disease have prayed to God, angels and spirit guides for healing, and instead found themselves being healed by ETs, such as the following case, published here for the first time. Case -086. Back pain. One evening around 1978, Anna M. had an experience that would change her life. Her daughter, Maria, explains what happened. At the time, she was a single mother with three kids, working as a secretary. One day she injured her back severely and doctors said back surgery was needed. That night my mom went to bed praying intensely to her angels, that she may receive their divine healing, as she needed to work and support three children. My sister and I were sleeping in another room. In the early a.m. hours, our bedroom was flooded with brilliant orange light, coming from the outside of our home. I was terrified. I covered my head with the blanket and prayed, "Whatever happens, please don't take me." My sister and I felt the light was emanating from a UFO. It lasted about 20 minutes, or so it seemed to us. The next morning my mom was so happy. She shared her weird dream with us. One man, wearing a white silver, all-body suit, including face covering, came into her room with some scientific instrumentation around his waist. She was told telepathically to not be afraid. My mom felt that she had been waiting for him. She pleaded, "Please don't let it be painful." And he said to relax. He pressed some buttons on his instrumentation. A laser-like light felt warm to her body. She fell asleep. The next day she woke up completely healed from her back issues. We were all so shocked, as my sister and I had seen the strange glowing light of her interplanetary healers. Needless to say, Anna did not undergo surgery, at least not by Earth doctors. 40 years later, Anna still has no back issues. 5 most reported healings can be directly correlated to a specific UFO event, such as being struck by a beam of light, or being taken inside a UFO and operated upon. Other healings are enacted by mysterious means unknown to the witness. In the following case, a man suffering from chronic back pain experienced a series of encounters, leading to an inexplicable healing. Case #105. Back pain. In the summer of 1984, a couple, Jose Maria Araz and Maria Zartzugaza, from Bilbao, Spain, were vacationing in Villalaca, Burgos. While on vacation, they experimented with a Ouija board and began communicating with a being named M4 who claimed to be extraterrestrial in origin. After several conversations, M4 said he would appear before the witnesses. On September 9, 1984, the couple saw a luminous glowing figure about 7 feet tall, wearing a shiny diver's suit with a cap. Over the next month, M4 appeared no less than 10 times. During the last Ouija board session, M4 said he would not appear again. Following this, Jose Maria Araz found himself mysteriously cured of his back ailment. Later on, during their return home from vacation, the couple saw a UFO. 6 A UFO abduction can happen anywhere. In this next case, a man was taken from a public train station. Case #112. Back injury. At 10:00 p.m. on May 15, 1986, Alexander Viktorovich was with 2 friends standing at a train station in Donetsk, Ukraine, when he saw something moving next to him. He reached out and found that he had grabbed the arm of a very strange-looking man. The man was very tall, dressed in all black and had slit-like eyes. Despite this, Viktorovich felt no fear. The figure pulled him along until they were both in a foggy corridor. On the other side, Viktorovich found himself in an alien place, with exotic-looking buildings around him. He felt a strange download of information rush into him. Realizing he was very far from home, he told the strange man he needed to return. The man told Viktorovich that he knew the way. Viktorovich found himself back in the same foggy corridor. Coming out the other side, he was in an area not far from his home. He returned to his residence and found his wife in tears. Viktorovich had been missing for 3 days. All he could remember is 2 hours, with fragmentary recall of various events. He did notice that the acetate silk on the inside of his suit was missing, as was his watch. He also noticed that he had been healed. Writes researcher Albert Rosales, he had been suffering from a consistent backache and the alien had rubbed his back at one time, apparently causing the ache to disappear. 7 While a UFO healing may sound like a singular and rare event, there is a catalogue of cases involving people reporting multiple healings of a wide variety of injuries, illnesses and diseases. At the top of this list is the Twiggs family. The below healing is only one of several that they have experienced as a result of UFO contact. It is almost identical to the case of Charles Moody, involving a back injury sustained during an abduction event. Case #146. Back injury. On October 15, 1989, Bert and Denise Twiggs of Hubbard, Oregon, woke up in their bedroom to discover several strange marks on their bodies. Because of previous extensive encounters with aliens who claimed to be from Andromeda, Bert and Denise knew what the marks meant. They had experienced a contact during the night. Bert noticed that his back was very sore, and he wondered what had transpired during the night to cause his back pain. Both Bert and Denise decided to undergo hypnosis to recover their memories. Both easily remembered what happened. While aboard the UFO, Bert had tripped and fallen backward against a metal support bar, injuring his back. The two of them were returned to their home, and later, the extraterrestrials made a house call to heal Bert's back. The doctor placed a handheld machine over the sore area, Denise said. The machine reversed most of the damage that occurred when Bert hit his back on the metal bar. After this process was finished, they left and Bert awoke nearly healed. 8. One of the central questions behind the UFO healing phenomenon is, who is being healed and why? Some people are healed apparently because they are already having extensive contact. In the following case, however, the witness reports no prior UFO history. However, her transformation following her encounter may provide the answer as to why she was healed. The case is published here for the first time. Case #175. Neck and back pain. In 2017, I was contacted by a woman from Norway who wanted to share her experience of a UFO healing. Natalie, pseudonym, is a retired artist who currently works on social and environmental issues. She had seen UFOs several times, but always from a distance. On one occasion, she saw what appeared to be a star-like object high in the sky. As she studied it, suddenly 6 or 7 star-like objects flew across the night sky in formation and at incredible speed. While working as an art director in 1991, she suffered a severe neck and back injury. Trying to cope with the injury and work was proving to be a struggle. Shortly after this injury, Natalie experienced her first and only visitation by ETs. I woke up one night with a terrible pain in my back, and realized that I couldn't move. I discovered my bed was surrounded by little greys. One was taller and was doing some surgery on my back. They flipped me on my back like I was a ragdoll. I was terrified. They didn't say anything, the non-communication scared me and they left through the wall. Outside, there was a bluish light. Then I could move again, and went straight to the window. Everything looked different, even the nature. It was like looking into another dimension. Then suddenly the light was gone and everything was normal. Natalie sat back on her bed and suddenly realized something incredible. The amazing part was that my back pain from my injury was gone and never came back. Whatever this was, it has healed me and made my life a lot easier. I became a lot more interested in UFOs and ETs or interdimensional beings. I also became a vegetarian and animal rights activist, and more politically active in human rights issues, environmental protection and peace activism. Natalie has had no other UFO experiences that she can recall, but she did have one other unusual mystical experience. She was driving alone at night through a rural area when she heard a calm female voice say, "Elk could be here." Says Natalie, "Instinctively I pulled the brakes and stopped the car as soon as I could. Out of nowhere an elk came across the road and literally jumped over the hood of my tiny Daihatsu car. I got mud from the elk's hooves on my front window. So whatever the voice came from, it saved my life." 9. The bizarre nature of UFO healings is difficult to comprehend. Are UFOs our friends or foes? In the following case, the woman had an encounter which caused intense fear. However, she was also healed. Case #176. Back pain. Late one evening in 1991, a 21-year-old anonymous female was driving with her sister through the outskirts of Claremont, California. For years she had suffered from intense chronic back pain. As they drove, the sisters spotted a disc-shaped craft hovering above them, sending down a beam of light. Researcher Barbara Lamb describes what happened next. The car stopped. So they got out of the car and started running across the field. And they were followed by a beam of blue light. And the beam suddenly struck her in her lower back and she felt it radiating right through her, and felt a very, very powerful energy. The witness was running in terror from what she thought was going to harm her. Ironically, it had the opposite effect. As Lamb says, as a result of that, she felt that she had been healed of whatever the difficulty was, and was actually quite grateful to them. 10 In comparison to other injuries, there seems to be a larger number of healings of back pain. The following 5 cases are short on details, but they show the same patterns that appear in other better documented cases. Case #189. Back pain. A short case with few details comes from researcher Helga Morrow, who reports that a man from Tbilisi, Georgia, in Russia was operated on by friendly extraterrestrials who cured him of his chronic back pain. This is only one of many cures reported by Morrow in the Tbilisi region, circa 1993. 11. Case #241. Back pain. In 2005, Terry Walters of Priestwood, in Bracknell, England, was in pain from a bad back. That is, until he experienced an alien abduction. Following his experience, his back pain was gone. As his daughter Julie Kendall writes, he reckoned they cured his bad back, which had baffled even top medical professionals. 12 Case #294. Damaged spinal cord. A brief undated case from the files of Free involves a gentleman who had been having encounters his entire life. After suffering a bad industrial accident which damaged his spinal cord, the witness meditated and asked the ETs to please fix my back. The gentleman was taken on board and examined. The ETs had him lie down on a table. They hooked a device to his arms and legs, controlling his movements. To this day, says the witness, I have no more major problems with my back. 13 Case #295. Back pain. Another case from Free, I had an abduction and the entity fixed my back. I would give it a 90% improvement. There is no doubt in my mind that they helped me, and I will be forever grateful to them for their help. 14 And one more undated case from Australian researcher, Mary Ridwell, who has interviewed hundreds of abductees and researched the subject for more than 20 years, case #292. Back pain. According to UFO researcher Mary Ridwell, she interviewed a lady in her 60s from Victoria, Australia. Suffering from chronic back pain, doctors told her she would likely end up in a wheelchair, but could use morphine to relieve her pain. Says Ridwell, I did hypnosis, we discovered she went onto a craft and was healed. After she had a levitating experience, her condition was gone. She is no longer on medication. Now she's almost 70 and has more energy than her children. Part of her mission has been to prove to her family and partner that this is real. They find it difficult to believe her. 15 So many healing cases. Because of the huge number of the cases and the striking similarities between them, and because these events have a long history and are occurring all across the world, it's clear that this is a real phenomenon. While some cases provide better evidence than others, one fact is clear. People are being healed of a wide variety of injuries by UFOs. Chapter 7, Head Injuries. Virtually everybody alive on Earth has had the experience of painfully bumping their head. Many people might not realize how common and dangerous head injuries can be. According to the Center for Disease Control, more than 1 million people suffer head injuries each year, the majority of which are sports-related. These injuries range from minor concussions to traumatic brain injury. Despite the huge number of head injuries that occur each year, this chapter presents only 3 cases involving UFO healings of this kind. The first comes from researcher Edith Fuhrfeld. Case #025. Head injury. Today, James the 10th is a successful Southern California physician. He occasionally sought therapy from a psychologist because he found it useful when confronting various life issues. During one of his sessions, he underwent hypnosis and spontaneously recalled a complex UFO abduction scenario which occurred around age 8, sometime in 1959. He recalled being transported up on a kind of pallet. "I don't understand how it happens, but I'm moving. Maybe I'm in a bubble. I'm going right inside this big thing. Just right up. It looks like your usual depiction of a spaceship, but it's going right up inside this opening." James recalled being taken inside a strange room and put on a table. He was unable to move as various instruments were placed in his nose and ears. A dome-like contraption was placed over the top of his head. He began to feel an electrical zapping sensation and experienced some fear. Earlier, James had fallen off the jungle gym and hit the back of his head. A huge goose egg-sized lump appeared and his father had to take him to the hospital that night to have the lump drained. Following the incident, he suffered severe headaches. Then one day, the headaches stopped. He never knew why. Years later, under hypnosis, James learned that the ETs fixed his head injury. "There's something on my head," he explains, "like a hemisphere over the top part of my head, and it feels like it's clamped on over my maxilla." James watched in fascination as the aliens dissolved the lump on his head using what looked like laser beams. As he says, "They go in there and dissolve that damn clot. There's 2 beams, and then they cross. It creates heat at that exact location, and it takes a long time, because it dissolves that clot, gases form, and they don't want to obstruct the blood flow." They then injected his chest with 2 needles. "They're putting needles in both sides of my chest. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why, but they've got these things in both sides. It's really strange. It feels like a clamp on my heart." Sperm samples were taken. James was then moved through the craft on the floating pallet, and was surprised to see numerous other people encased in bubbles, floating on pallets like his. Next, he was floated back into his bedroom. He reports that as a result of his encounter, he was healed of severe headaches that had been caused by a recent concussion. In his mid-30s, James experienced an incredible shock when the aliens returned. Just after buying his new home, he began to have bizarre recollections of strange figures in his bedroom. He discounted them until hypnosis revealed a history of encounters. Says James, "They look gray and they're maybe 5 feet tall. They have oval heads." Fuhr agreed to place him under hypnosis to explore the memory. James recalled waking up to find several gray type ETs in his bedroom. He was unable to move as he was placed on a strange pallet which floated him up and through the wall and into that big ship that's sitting out over the trees. I don't understand why people can't see that. James was taken up a ramp and into the craft. The aliens were talking about the dangers of announcing their presence in a physical way to humanity and were interested in James' reaction. Reaction. It was his job to explain the way people think. I feel like a negotiator. I feel like I'm being interrogated. James reports that other people were also questioned in a similar manner. He was shown some of the alien technology, such as an X-ray device that allowed them to view the inside of a body. They're demonstrating it on somebody. First an alien and now a human on the television screen, you can see the different energy channels, just like they are interspersed with the arteries and veins. It's like our MRI except it shows not only tissues, it shows the energy channels. He was shown other people being operated upon and was given considerable information about the various causes of disease. They told James that he had part of their genetic material and they expressed surprise that he had survived a childhood inoculation. He was given further information and then was returned home in a small, round-shaped craft of some kind. It's got a clear canopy in front. It's not very big. It lands in the backyard. And I am kind of led because I'm in a semi-awake state. I'm led back to my door. The doors open and they wait there while I get into bed. James, as a physician, now realizes that the aliens were merely speeding up a process that would have occurred naturally. Nevertheless, the cure of his head injury remains beyond the scope of today's medical expertise. One, the following case is a good example of someone who feels that their encounters are benevolent. The witness also claims to have experienced multiple healings. Case #091. Head injury, foot injury, pleurisy. Another case of a healing of a head injury comes from a man who goes by the pseudonym of Star Traveler. Star Traveler reports that his UFO experiences have been informative, pleasant and even funny. One of these experiences includes the healing of a head injury. As a young boy, 19 Savetes, he was playing softball when his sister accidentally struck him on the head with a baseball bat. The baseball bat struck my skull just above my eyebrow and the flesh peeled back like the lid of a sardine can, said Star Traveler. In the emergency room, the doctor applied a butterfly bandage and advised that he might need sticks. The next evening, Star was in his room, lying in bed when he saw a bright star-like object outside his window. In the middle of the night he woke up to see two aliens with chalk-white skin and large, black almond-shaped eyes that seemed like peaceful, glistening pools of water. They were skinny, and had large heads, thin necks and very long arms. As he lay there, one of the figures began passing a rod-shaped instrument back and forth over his body. At first, he was frightened but then the aliens told him what they were doing. I realized, says Star, that they were there to heal me, and I couldn't apologize enough. They told me, telepathically, that they routinely heal volunteers, those who volunteer to be of service to others before they incarnate, and ensure their health. It was their job to make the rounds. Needless to say, Star Traveler enjoys meeting with the ETs. I consider them my friends, he says. A few days after the head injury, Star Traveler visited the doctor. The physician was shocked to see that the injury was healing at an amazing rate and that I would need no stitches. Star Traveler says that he has been cured by the aliens on many different occasions. They have affected many other healings for me, he says, including healings of an impact injury to my feet, and pleurisy in my lungs. I have come to regard these interventions as a Zeta Terra medical plan that comes as a bonus for being a volunteer. Two, the vast majority of UFO healings occur without any outside witnesses. The following is one of only a handful of cases in which a person witnessed the healing take place. It's also rare in that the healing took place inside a hospital room. And while most healings are done by greys and human-looking ETs, in this case the healing was performed by the praying mantis type, also called mantids. Case #255. Head injury. My best friend was viciously attacked and left to die in 2008, writes Andrea, pseudonym, of Canada. She barely survived the horrible attack where she was knocked unconscious after being hit on the head over and over with an object. When I saw her at the hospital, she was irrecognizable. Her beautiful face was swollen to the size of a basketball. Andrea was devastated. She had known her friend for 40 years, they had grown up together. Now, following this attack, her friend lay on her hospital bed in a drug-induced coma. Part of her skull had been removed to reduce pressure from inflammation. Because of the delicacy of her condition, Andrea was not allowed to touch her friend. As she visited her, she would stand by her bed and meditate on healing her. When she performs a healing, Andrea feels as though she seems to be another person, working with accuracy and knowledge that I wouldn't have in real life. One evening, as she meditated on healing her friend, Andrea had a vision of a huge black spot on her friend's head. Out of this spot came hundreds of giant spiders. Unfortunately, her friend's condition did not appear to improve. Andrea was in despair. She remained by her friend's bedside but was unable to help her. Finally, she reached a point of panic. She felt a sense that something had to be done quickly. It was at that moment that two praying mantis-type beings appeared. All of a sudden, says Andrea, there were two beings that appeared next to my friend. They seemed to push me aside and silently went to work on her, like skilled surgeons. They stood to her left, standing together and working furiously on my friend. I had no idea who they were, or what they were doing. I thought they looked like praying mantis. Never in a million years could I make this up. Andrea had no idea that other people had reported similar ETs. At the time of the incident, she was so amazed by what was happening that she was unable to observe everything. Suddenly, she realized that the figures were doing something. I focused on my friend, says Andrea, and saw her head was split wide open, like these. Aliens sliced it perfectly open. I saw freshly sliced raw flesh, and these alien praying mantis were busily removing pieces of bone, rock or whatever from her brain. These two alien praying mantis worked quickly, without speaking one word. At this point, Andrea seemed to black out. She is unable to remember anything else about what happened. She did tell her friends about the incident, who told her that other people had also seen similar beings. They advised her to search the internet. Andrea was surprised to find many other accounts involving the same type of beings. Andrea hoped that following the visit, her friend would be completely cured. Unfortunately, it was not to be. Says Andrea, I'm sad to say that even with the alien healing, my friend survived only another 2 weeks before she died. It's just remarkable that she survived at all after her injuries. I don't know why I experienced this, but it's something I will never forget. Sincerely, and oh, yes, this is 100% truth, the whole story. 3. While the head injury cases are rare, the above three cases are probably only a small sample of the actual number. Likely there are many cases of this type that haven't been reported. These cases each provide considerable information about healings. The case of James is incredibly detailed, and the fact that he is a physician himself adds a level of credibility to his story. The case involving the praying mantis is important, not only because it exhibits some rare details, but also because it shows that even the ETs are not perfect. In the end, the patient died, indicating that ETs, despite their advanced healing technology, are not able to cure all injuries. Star Traveler's account is interesting because the ETs revealed that the people chosen to be healed are volunteers dedicated to helping others. And that they perform healings routinely. It shows that some people who are having contact experience multiple healings and believe that their relationship with ETs is entirely benevolent. As Star Traveler said, "I consider them my friends." Many of the people who have received healings feel this sense of gratitude and goodwill toward the ETs. Chapter 8, Body Injury.